You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the king Scott Engel, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Some waivers have gone through, some waivers still to come, some headlines, some fun, all that in a day's work. What's going on, Scotty?
Good morning, and waiver Tuesday and Wednesday, and we got you set at rotoexperts.com with my in-season ranks. And, you know, just checking this morning the Scott's Fishbowl leaderboard. I am sixth overall. Mike Blewett is 10th, and our Mike Waterloo is 27th. So we're representing pretty well.
There you go. Matt Modica, yeah. How are you, sir?
Doing well on this fine morning. Getting ready to put some bids in tonight. The only bid I put in last night was a dollar bid on Cameron Brate.
Oh, I'm looking at some bids here. I spent a buck for Trevor Siemian this week. Pretty pumped about that. We're probably get him against Oakland rather than Kirk Cousins at KC, as I said that yesterday.
I like that move.
And I picked up Will Fuller for a dollar also. There's nothing wrong with that, obviously. I'll get some other waiver bids in a moment. You know what's annoying? When you see somebody that you had no idea was a free agent, it's not good. It's not good at all.
Who was it?
And then you see the waiver report run.
Exactly. Yeah. Sterling Shepard. Just missed that one.
How'd you miss that, Greg?
Well, first,
you have to say.
Oh yeah, I was getting to you in a moment, Corey.
Huh?
Corey Parsons, the fantasy.
Oh, good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here today. You know what I'm saying? As we get ready to push in towards week four of the NFL season. These fantasy weeks, these NFL weeks, fly by so fast. Make sure you try to enjoy every moment. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's crazy. We are at week four now. We are a fourth of the way through the season.
A quarter to the season. We got another game in London. So 9:30.
There you go.
Oh, that's fun.
I love it. I'm loving the little, it's like a little West Coast football.
You're not working.
Well, you're working no matter what.
Yeah, but it's a pain if you're working.
Why is that?
Because you're trying to get people ready for the 1 o'clock. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
The regular Sunday slate.
Right.
And then you got the game right in the middle of it.
Right. Why is that bad?
Because I'm trying to focus on two. My mind is multitasking.
It multitasks every
day. He wants to be able to focus fully on the games at 1 o'clock. Rather than work and try to focus on the game at the same time.
Exactly.
What game is it, ninth? We got the Saints.
The Saints and the Dolphins. And for those who have been waiting for Willie Sneed, just a heads up, we're not sure what his role is going to be this week.
That's right.
According to Sean Payton.
Yes, we're going to talk about that in just a bit. I enjoy the 9:30. I mean, I'm working in my lineup, so I'm answering questions, of course, and you know, I got the game on behind me, and I think that's exactly what you're going
to
do too.
It's different for everybody, though. It's like I like going home and be able to fire up the Xbox and put on the stream, but you know, if I understand where Corey's coming from too, though. You know, it's like Corey wants to watch all the games in one, you know, and see everything develop, and you know, it's kind of distracting, you know, when you're on the air too.
Kind of distracting to have one game on the air in the background at 9:30 in the morning.
I'll ask him.
I'm good. Take a break. We're going to come back. I'll let you know. Waivers ran. How much do the guys go for? I'll tell you when we return. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, of course. Let's go over some waivers, gentlemen, before we get to some of the headlines for the day. As I said, kind of in the opening, I missed Sterling Shepard on the waiver wire.
How much did he go for?
What do you think he went for? I have a, it's a $100 cap.
$100 cap.
15.
12.
25.
Scott's the closest. He went over, though, so the price is right. He would lose. He went for $23. Sterling Shepard went for $23. The next closest bid was 12.
So, whatever.
I just don't think anything out of that. If Sterling Shepard's out there, how important is it that we get him, Matt?
Not important.
All right, Corey.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, please go right ahead.
Corey, go. I think you're right.
Not important. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be inconsistent production at the most part. I understand. I believe yesterday Jake said that that Sterling Shepard was Randall Cobb. I don't see it like that. I think the Giants' O-line still a little bit struggling too much. Odell is a dominant top target in that offense. I think you're going to like to have Shepard on your team through the bye weeks and stuff like that. He did score 8 touchdowns last season, but I don't think that's going to be something that changes the game as far as where you finish in the standings.
I would certainly bet on Shepard, and I'm probably going to do it in a few of my leagues tonight.
Oh, he's on Wise in your leagues, too?
What's that?
He's on Waiver Wise in your league, too?
I think one or two leagues, if he's there, I'm saying, you know, it's a possibility. I'm definitely going to put a bid in on it or two. Because I think with Beckham back, Beckham commands so much defensive attention. It's clear to me that he's that team's number two wide receiver. And, you know, I see where Corey's coming from in terms of consistency may be an issue. But I think the Giants are going to throw the ball a lot. They have absolutely no running game. And, you know, outside of Beckham, you know, who's their most prominent playmaker on offense? It might be Shepard.
Yeah, but the thing for me, look, I want to have Shepard on my team. I agree with both Corey and Scott and what they said. I mean, I want to have him on my team, but I think it's going to be inconsistent. Yeah. Odell's the guy. But the one thing you do got to take a look at, with Odell coming back and playing a full set of snaps, Brandon Marshall did get 11 targets, caught 8 balls. So I'm not a Brandon Marshall guy, but it's something you need to look at. And if he was dropped, I think he's a guy you need to pick up.
Yeah, I think so, too, when it comes to Brandon Marshall. He's still a starter. I think Shepard's a big play guy. I don't see the Randall Cobb thing. I know when he was drafted and they signed Marshall, everyone kind of assumed he would go into the Randall Cobb role in the Green Bay type offense in New York. I don't think we've seen that happen yet, but we'll see. You know, we'll see how they continue to use him. I don't think he's this guy you got to spend a good percentage of your budget on at this point. The number one defense you told me yesterday, Modica, that is out there is Cincinnati this week because they're playing Cleveland. They went for $6 as they stream. I did not get them. You also had Arizona go this week. They went for $3. Andre Ellington, who I picked up last week and then dropped because I was like, this isn't necessary. He went for $5. Your boy Charles Clay. All right, so two tight ends went on the waiver wire here. One is Chuck Clay. The other one is Jared Cook. How much do you think they went for, Corey?
Hopefully, Charles Clay went for $4, and Jared Cook went for $0.
I thought you'd say that part.
Scott. I would say Charles Clay went for about $9, and Cook went for about $6.
I'll go Clay $7, Cook $4.
So Cook went for $5, Clay went for $8.
Mama named him Clay. I'm gonna call him Clay.
That's right. You're gonna do that. Charles Clay goes for a little bit more here. Oh wow, that's. Wow, very interesting. There's a bunch of other ones I'll get to in a moment.
I mean, I picked up Cameron Brate for $1 in my Staten Island Home League. And then just for the fact that it's the Giants. The Giants,
sure.
You know, it's just notorious. I mean, every week it seems to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Brate, you know, he put up like 13 points versus the Vikings this week. So I think you have to roll him out there if you have him.
Cameron Brate in this league went for $5, a little bit more actually than Charles Clay, than Jerry Cook did. You had Paul Perkins was actually cut in the league, which is smart. Then someone picked him up for $5, which was not, because Paul Perkins stinks. Kenny Britt was picked up for $4 here this week. I think it's a good pick up for $4. Kenny Britt, I think it's a nice job. Someone picked up John Brown because, I don't know, can't tell you why I picked up John Brown. I guess it's the same reason I picked up Will Fuller.
Purple drink.
Yeah, pretty.
It was drinking purple drink and was like, oh, I got an idea.
Oh.
Pick up John Brown. It's high.
That's the second purple drink reference you made this week.
Tastes great. No, let me see. I don't know nothing about that.
Less filling. Quick question. Who would you guys rather have going forward? Josh Doctson or Kenny Britt?
That's an interesting question because, as you mentioned, just a moment ago. We're not a moment ago. Yesterday, Josh Doctson has seen an increase in snap each of the first 3 weeks, right? 30% to 40% to 50% over the first 3 weeks. But the problem is, and maybe this is game plan specific, but what I saw from Washington was not this vertical stretch offense by any means. Like, Josh Doctson, I think, will be a red zone target, and I think, sure, they stretched the field with one play from him Monday night, but other than that, like, they are not even trying to do that. I think the offense has changed a little bit in Washington.
It does seem after 3 weeks that it has. I think it's something that they're going to have to get back to. Look, Chris Thompson's been great, but I mean, if you're going to rely on him to pop a big play every week, that's not a formula for success, in my opinion. You know, 77 run, the big catch down the sidelines. You know.
Hey, let me ask y'all. Since we doing a potpourri, let me ask y'all this.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, Sussman.
Well, please go right ahead.
Who'd you rather have rest of the way, Gabriel or Bryce Butler?
I'd rather have Travis Benjamin.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like
that wasn't the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know
why
with that. But,
I agree, Travis Benjamin.
I think Bryce Butler has more talent and is the better football player, but Gabriel's already involved to a degree in that offense. You can't trust him, but I feel like Gabriel's more involved. You want to see what Butler's role is. You hope it increases, but he doesn't even have the role Gabriel has yet. So I'd say Gabriel right now.
I'd go with what Corey usually says, the Dallas offense. It's, you know, Zeke, Dez. If you want to put Witten in there,
and that's it.
That seems to be the three main pieces.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Taylor Gabriel because I think they're both big play guys, obviously. But the Cowboys, they take their shot once or twice a game. I think the Falcons will take a shot just more often. I think they're going to throw the ball a little bit more, and because of that, I'm going to go with Gabriel over Butler. These two guys, you're kind of looking for the same thing as you referenced. You're just looking for a big play, and whoever has a better chance at the big play.
Right. I was joking, but I know Matt's going for it. If you're looking for a big play guy, you know, Travis Benjamin is the one you look for.
Well, yes.
Travis Benjamin's put up double-digit points, what, 2 out of 3 weeks?
Yep.
And in week 2, where he only had like 2 points, he was targeted again in the end zone. Rivers just overshot him. So he is a guy that is healthy. We saw it in the preseason. You know, Rivers likes to take chances, so I mean, not a guy that you want to put in your lineup. He's a bench guy you want if you need to put him in on a bye week.
Yeah, I agree that I have no issue with Travis Benjamin. I actually said during the summer that I like Travis Benjamin. I mean, I've always liked Donchell Inman too. I mean, so I'm not saying I'm a genius. Speaking of Travis Benjamin, I mentioned this on yesterday's show, and I wanted to throw this out to you guys again. Corey, can we be officially nervous if we drafted about Tyrell Williams?
Yeah, I think so.
Because Tyrell Williams was going pretty early in drafts, and they kind of went a little bit later as the money started coming in. But Tyrell Williams is just not a consistent force in this Charger offense.
No, he's not a consistent force. And I think Travis Benjamin might be ahead of him on the pecking order, too. So I think Matt is right with that. If Travis Benjamin's on your waiver wire, he's definitely worth an add. One thing I will say is, though, you know, you don't want to sleep on Williams, but he definitely cannot be in your starting lineup right now. That is a bad move. In a 10-team league, he likely should be on the waiver wire.
I agree.
He's becoming statistically like a Devin Funchess. Like, you'll get 5 catches for 50 yards. Statistically. You know, last year, this guy had an opportunity, and he stepped up and filled the void, but Benjamin was injured. You know, there was a lot of talk, you know, including myself, that I really liked Benjamin last year, but he got hurt, and, you know, when he was available, the consistency wasn't there. You know, he's one of the better big play guys in the league when he was healthy. I mean, you know, for Pete's sake, you know, it's like, you know, we saw Johnny Manziel, like, throwing bombs to him when he was in Cleveland.
Who's Pete?
What?
Who's Pete? Who the hell is Pete?
I don't want to say for F's sake, all right?
Who the hell is Pete, though, Scott? You don't even know a Pete.
Yes, I do. Pete Considori, weekend producer.
All right, you do know a Pete. Yeah, I know the same guy. He knows one Pete.
I'm sure you're very close to Pete, too.
Here's the problem with Tyrell Williams is the landscape changed for him. I mean, last year, Keenan Allen went out in the first quarter.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and Benjamin was banged up. So the opportunity, the target share was his.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, as the money came in, I think we all kind of started noticing just how many mouths are on the feed. You know, Tyrell Williams did nothing this past weekend. Hunter Henry wasn't even targeted, right? Like, there is just way...
That they need to correct, though. I mean, not because I said I like Hunter Henry.
Of course.
It just seems too obvious.
Just too, and, well, last time he had 0 targets, he's, you know, he did a lot.
Maybe another 15-point week is coming. Who knows?
It's going to be another 15-point week where I start Charles Clay and he gets zero. And Hunter Henry gets... I'm going to drop... It's the same process. I'm going to keep spending more waiver dollars every time Charles Clay gets dropped. It's unbelievable. This Charles Clay train that I'm on.
Choo-choo.
Indeed. Would you rather have Josh Doctson or Will Fuller?
Maturity.
It depends. I think this offense has to go back to what it was in Washington. Right now, Josh Doctson's healthy. I'll say him.
I'm going to say Fuller. I feel like Doctson's going to be the third guy there. Can't stay healthy, etc. I think Fuller's going to have a real role when he comes back. They need another receiver, and the quarterback is better in that offense.
Is Bruce Ellington a thing, though?
I think when Fuller's not there, he might not be.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Some of the headlines from yesterday. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
We return here with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Gave you all the names, the prices. Light waiver wire. What would you choose between Will Fuller and Josh Doctson? Neither?
Josh Doctson's trending in the right direction. I would go with Josh Doctson.
Is he, though?
He's hitting on the field more, playing more snaps. Every week he plays more snaps.
Yeah, I mean, Matt pointed out 30 to 40 to 50% of snaps. He played 36 snaps total in week 3 against Oakland. You know what? I'm not going to pick Josh Doctson up because I'm not going to play him this week. And then he has a bye the week after that. I'm going to get
What if you're playing the long game with him? And just to throw this out here, I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
What if Terrell Pryor continues to fall flat on his face?
Yeah.
And then the top receivers, you know, in that offense become Crowder and Doctson?
Yeah, well, I think what they like from what I'm seeing, Scott, they like Pryor on one side.
Scott spewing blasphemy this morning.
They like throwing it out there.
They like Pryor on one side, they like Doctson on the other, and they like Jamison Crowder in the middle. So that's why Doctson's starting right now. And ultimately, like I said, I know I'm not going to start him on Monday night. Then during the bye, it's just like I'm going to need the roster spot to maneuver. I don't think I'm going to mess with this now.
I think that's the best. I think that's Washington's best way of attacking teams. Having the two big guys on the outside. Look, Josh Doctson's a guy that they were excited for. I think he has potential.
So yeah.
Crowder in the slot that's where he should play. I mean, if you own Jordan Reed, hopefully you picked up Vernon Davis last week. I don't know what you do there, Chris. I don't think this guy's going to be healthy at all at any point this season. It's going to be, you know, maybe one week he plays, next week he doesn't. But I think those are the three guys, and that way it sets up best. Look, you're taking a speculative shot on these guys. I like Will Fuller there, too, as well. If anything, I walked away from week 3 extremely impressed by Deshaun Watson and how he made that leap in 10 days.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's been 10 days and a monster change. Would you rather start Cameron Brate or Charles Clay this week?
Cameron Brate for me. I'm just looking at consistently what the tight end does versus
the Giants.
I don't think the Bills are going to get rolled this week. It's at Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I don't think it matches up well for them. It's a very good overall team, a very fast offense. The Bills' defense has played better, but you know this isn't in Buffalo. And we see the difference of home field advantage.
Yeah, but I think the matchup's fine for Charles Clay, though, right? Defense-wise?
I don't think the matchup's... I don't think it's like a terrible matchup. But I'm going to go with a guy that, you know, he's been targeted by Jameis last year heavily. What did he score? 8 touchdowns last year? 7 touchdowns? Something like that. He's, you know, and then week 2 at the Vikings, which is a very stout defense... He put up another touchdown. He's a guy that Jameis is going to go to. And I'm just looking at the Giant track record. There's some things that, you know, you can't ignore in fantasy. And I think this is one of them.
Yeah, I think you're right. Would you rather? So I got to drop someone. I'll pick up Calvin Brand. I'll make this decision a little bit later on in the week. Would you drop Evan Engram for him?
No. Is there anybody else he can cut? I mean, Engram's been putting up some pretty. He can give you something of a floor there, especially if it's a PPR.
I already have three.
But what about Cameron Brate? What he did last year? I mean, look, he didn't play week one. I mean, I don't think Evan Engram. I like Engram too. I do like him. But I think Brate has a defined role in this offense.
Look, to me, it's close. You say carrying three tight ends. With the state of tight end right now, you could carry both of those guys and maybe flip one of them.
Oh, yeah. I don't have to flip one of them. I already own three tight ends, my problem.
You go with the Mike Cardano.
I am. It's terrible.
That's not good, yeah.
Yeah, no, I recognize three tight ends. I own Evan Engram, I own Charles Clay, and I own Hunter Henry.
I think you have to decide on Henry and somebody else. I think at some point, Henry will be a real thing this year.
So I agree. I obviously agree. And last week I decided I'm not doing this stupid 3-10 thing. I'm going with Hunter Henry and I'm going with Evan Engram. And then I was like, Hunter Henry got zero targets, and I really like Charles Clay, so I picked up Charles Clay today.
I think the one thing, the one thing from that game this past weekend is with Rivers throwing the three interceptions. They're going to say, you know what? We need to get this guy involved.
Yeah.
You got Anthony Lynn wants to be. He wants to run the ball too. So maybe that kind of pissed him off. Maybe the head coach was like, look, you can't be putting us in this situation.
I think the problem for Henry, and if it comes down to carrying three tight ends, I think I would have to leave Henry out, and here's why. I'm not saying the talent isn't there. I've always felt like maybe next year is really his year. With everybody healthy there for the Chargers, it's going to be very, very, you know, hit and miss. He's going to have some more good games, I think, but there could be some real stinkers there where I feel like the other guys are going to be more consistently involved because Allen is healthy, Benjamin's a thing. You know, I don't know if Henry's going to have that consistent involvement.
Well, I think the one thing they have to go away from at some point is Antonio Gates. He got that touchdown, but you look at his three-game log, I mean, it's what, two catches, three catches, 14,
sure.
17 yards.
Yeah, this is hard. I mean, really, my real issue here is I have to own both two quarterbacks. Trevor, this is a disaster, Corey.
How many roster spots?
We have, I think it's 17 roster spots in this league. Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be owning all of those tight ends and quarterbacks and stuff like that.
I know. I just don't know what to do about it.
When I get with Scott later on tonight, you want to jump on with us?
I might have to.
Yeah, I'm gonna be teaching Corey. I think a good time for that might be 156. That's like how many spots I'm ahead of you in the fishbowl?
Fishbowl?
Yeah. That's what we're calling each other out about now?
Come on, stop.
I'm better than
the
you in
fish
every...
Bowl.
Scott's fishbowl.
Be there at the end, Scott Engel.
I will be there at the end.
That'll be something new if you're there at the end.
You are a one-year comet across the sky.
Whatever, Scott. Be there at the end.
You know I'll be there? I'll be there at 141 to 116.
Where's your baseball teams at, Scott?
What?
Where's your baseball teams at?
Fourth, third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside the money.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yours inside the money?
Yeah.
Yeah? Thanks to Brian Ambos.
You hate him. Yeah. You can hate if you want to hate. Yeah.
You don't got to go there.
You can hate if you want to hate, Scott.
You can hate if you want to hate, too.
I'm telling the truth.
What? I'm telling the truth, too. You're 5-10 against me, and I whooped you in week one, and I'm doing better in every league that we're involved in.
Let's go, Greg.
Yeah, let's go. Let's move on and not tell the truth.
I am going to tell the truth, and that's why I'm going to let you know what Sean Payton had to tell us just a few moments ago.
He was up already?
Oh, he's in London, so yeah, he's up already.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
That's right. He is in London.
It's 12:30 there. Sean Payton, and Matt kind of referenced it at the top of the hour, that Sean Payton said, listen, I don't know what Willie Sneed's role is here on Sunday. We got to see practices. We got to see the deal. And I want to go back, gentlemen. I want to go back just a few months ago where it was preseason. And Willie Sneed was playing in the fourth quarter. Willie Sneed was, you know, laying with the scrubs, the second string, the third string. And again, we didn't know about the suspension. So it's possible they're getting him all his extra working because he was going to be suspended for the next 3 to 4 weeks at the time. And he wasn't going to wind up starting for them in week one. So they wanted to get him extra work in. I'm not saying that wasn't the case. But I do remember we sat here during weeks 2 and 3, specifically, of the preseason. And we were like, wait a minute, why is Willie Sneed playing this deep into the game? And
it was his last action.
Is that the case? Or
that was his last action. It was his last action They knew the suspension was coming. We didn't know the suspension was coming, so they was giving him his last little bit of work before he had to go sit on the bench.
So that's what you're not worried about.
That's what I'm
buying.
I don't think that he's going to come in there and lose snaps to Brandon Coleman.
Okay. Would you start Willie Snead this week in London, given what
You
may have to, for sure. But given that line from Sean Payton of we don't really know what's happening, we gotta play it out. And he's a liar, don't get me wrong. But in London, you know, it's like one of those weird type of situations. Would you start Willie Snead?
It's not a no doubter. You have to look at your options. I mean, you want to put Snead into your lineup. You drafted him. You've been holding him. But it may be best after the bye, because after this week, have the bye next week, and then, you know, let them get the full practices in. This is, as you state, they're going to London. It's kind of a quirky kind of week. But what is your options beside Willie Snead? I mean, you have Drew Brees throwing the ball.
Sure.
So Drew Brees' targets we value higher than other targets. So
look, even if he doesn't play a full game, you know, he's going to look to him on key downs.
So here, a team in my league, just for instance, here's an option. Willie Snead or Wendell Smallwood?
I'm going to go Willie Snead.
To pick up, I'd rather pick up.
Not pick up, to play.
To play? I would go with Smallwood this week because I feel like he's going to get the guaranteed work. When you're in a close spot between a wide receiver and a running back, take the guaranteed touches a lot of the time.
Yeah, but that team doesn't really run. I mean, you don't know what it could be. Corey Clement. You
sure.
Don't know how that's going to play out. I'd rather go with Drew Brees. I'm going to go with the Drew Brees offense. And look, Willie Snead might get limited snaps. That's a very real possibility. But once again, I'm going to go with the Drew Brees offense.
It's close, but you know Willie Snead might get limited snaps. It's like Smallwood's going to have some sort of role. You know they're not in love with getting LeGarrette Blount as good as LeGarrette Blount played last week. Corey Clement, I don't think he's going to be a real thing. I think Smallwood's, you know, going to be good for like 14, 15 touches.
Would you rather start Willie Snead or Kenny Britt?
I can't do the Kenny Britt thing. I just can't. You know, Ross, we were talking about like barely rostering him yesterday, so I would start
Willie Snead over Kenny Britt.
I will put in some bids for Kenny Britt.
He should be picked up.
Yeah.
He's not going to be consistent. If you put him in your lineup, you're playing Russian roulette, you know what I'm saying? But
he's a bench player, you know. He's a guy you want to have on the bench, at some point.
You could put him in through one of the bye weeks, and he might get you 11 points in the PPR, and you'll be like, yes. Whew. It might get you a donut, and he'll be like, not
damn.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say damn. I was going to say something with a little bit more force behind it. But I'm on the radio, so I can't do that.
No, you can't. Not that you haven't before. But
yeah.
it's probably a good thing now. I think when it comes to Willie Snead, of course, the question does become whether you have better options. I think Wendell Small is an interesting one, and then Kenny Britt's an interesting one. But you got the Drew Brees offense. Sean Payton's one of the biggest liars in the game, so it doesn't exactly scare me off with what he's saying. So let's take a break. When I come back, a whole lot more to come, a lot more headlines here on the Roto Experts in the morning, including talking about Orleans Darkwa. Yeah. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, and my man Orleans Darkwa.
Oh, that's your man.
Yeah,
that's your man, son.
My man Orleans Darkwa said that he could have returned to the game on Sunday. His back injury is fine. Okay,
why the hell would he return? Nobody cares about him returning to the damn game. This is a fantasy show. When Orleans Darkwa returning to a game does not mean nothing for fantasy football. Nothing. I know you're wrong. It doesn't. It doesn't. Orleans Darkwa does not mean anything returning to the game. It means that somebody that can do something better than him is not in the game.
Should Orleans Darkwa be on fantasy teams?
I guess you don't have to ask me that. No, it sucks.
In a very deep league, when he's healthy, you know, he might end up starting for the team, and you might have to use him on a bye week, not that you want to. So I would say in a deeper league, yeah.
Let me ask you a question as a Giants fan.
Oh, boy.
How confident are you that the Giants get a W this week in Tampa?
Not confident. At all. They suck.
Like, what would you give? Like, you give them a 30% chance of winning?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this one's kind of... This one, like, feels like 50-50 to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is a good one for Tampa. I know the Giant defense. Look, the Giant defense has to come through.
Oh, Jameis has not looked good, for the record.
He hasn't looked good, but...
Yeah, he threw for 200, over 300 yards and two touchdowns.
The Giants only three in
that
desperate.
That was like 34-10.
You want to talk about garbage time? That was...
What was the fantasy? This is a game of numbers.
All right, so why don't you start Blake Bortles this week?
Huh?
Start Blake Bortles.
That's one game. Blake Bortles don't have the pedigree that Jameis Winston has.
Jameis Winston's the number one overall pick, but Jameis Winston hasn't exactly... Blake Bortles has done more in fantasy football than Jameis Winston has.
Huh?
Blake Bortles has done more in fantasy football than Jameis Winston.
He doesn't have the pedigree. He doesn't have the pedigree. He don't have the playmakers that Jameis Winston has.
I'm not disagreeing with any of that, but... You cannot say by watching Jameis Winston you have been impressed in the first 2 weeks of his season.
Game one was game management, was game script. They ran the football once they got the lead.
But that's fantasy.
Game two, he threw for over 300 yards and two touchdowns.
You want to who
about the interceptions and the fact that it was in garbage.
The interceptions don't mean nothing to me.
Okay. But
his first two games of the season, I think he's like has 4 points more than Carson Palmer after his first two.
Interceptions will mean something depending on who you play, though, because if you throw an interception, you give the other team time of possession, and they start chewing up a lot of clock and stuff like that, then you're not on the field enough.
I.e. Phillip Rivers.
Depends on who you play.
Okay.
As a Jameis Winston owner, have you been satisfied?
Nobody ever said that.
For the first 2 weeks of Jameis Winston's season, have you been satisfied? As a Jameis Winston owner ever.
I'm not ready to go to Blake Bortles for him.
I'm going to Trevor Siemian this week for him. I told you this yesterday.
I think week one, he missed, he overshot DeSean Jackson on a couple of opportunities.
He did.
I think, you know, DeSean Jackson has done one thing consistently, played well versus the Giants.
And Jameis,
he destroys the Giants.
Jameis
I'm not
Winston likes
this
to
week.
Gun downfield, and, you know, Jackson is perfect for that. It's a good
he's
spot.
He's overthrown him a couple
of
times.
He's got a good spot. It's a good spot for Jackson, though, in terms of, like, getting attempts. But this is going to be a dangerous game for Tampa Bay because an 0-3 team – you know, no matter what field they play on, they're going to be desperate. They're going to be hungry. They're going to be dangerous.
They were desperate last week, and they got walked off with a 61-yard field goal.
I think they're more desperate this week.
Yeah.
The wounded animal theory. I think it applies even more this week.
They are wounded animals.
You know what, though, Corey? They did mount quite a comeback last week.
It doesn't make a difference. They didn't win.
I know they did, but I'm saying, though, it's like, you know, you can't count them out against
Tampa
Bay.
What's the boy name? Conor McGregor. There's no moral victories here. You lose. There's no moral victories here.
It's a loss. I'm not disagreeing. Who would you start, though, this week? Trevor Siemian or Jameis Winston?
I would start Jameis Winston.
I think Jameis Winston's the better fantasy quarterback.
I'm going to go Trevor Siemian versus that. That Raiders second. Look, just look at what Josh McCown did. I mean, Jermaine Kearse had a monster week. And then look
and
at
home,
Cousins. You could attack them in many different ways. You could just, you know, you could piecemeal them to death. You could take them over the top. I mean, they have like, if not the best or one of the top three defensive players in the league, but the rest of that defense.
Jake Sealy's ranks are up on rotoexperts.com this morning.
Where are Scott Angles, though?
They'll be up today. Jameis Winston is at 16th.
Okay,
right now.
Where's Trevor Siemian?
Let's see. Trevor Siemian is at 13th.
Is he only kid? Huh? Yeah. Huh? How about that?
The expert consensus of Fantasy Pros has Trevor Siemian at 12 this week.
Where's Kirk Cousins?
And Jameis Winston at 13.
Where's Kirk Cousins on that list?
On Jake's ranks, we have Kirk Cousins at number 8.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to talk to Jake about that.
Yeah, one spot behind the expert consensus.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. All available on rotoexperts.com right now.
No, that is all, you know, I don't have to talk to Jake. I have special access. He doesn't tell me to check his links, you know.
He will, though.
Yeah,
he's busy.
He is.
He's not.
Yeah. All right. So, I got to get Joe Oren's knock on then. All right. When it comes to...
That's you, Greg.
It's not. That is just a lie.
You see who Jake has his tight end sleeper?
Jesus, you jump.
Is that me?
Yes. What was your question, Matt?
Did you see who Jake has as tight end sleeper this week?
Well, I have not. I have not read Jake's column yet. I didn't check the link yet.
The guy that I've been saying this morning.
You're talking about Cameron Brate.
That would make America Brate against Corey Says?
Yes. So he has Cameron Brate as a sleeper tight end. All right. Yeah, I like Cameron Brate this week, too. All right. Thursday night, of course, you have the Bears and the Packers. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show. But Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery both practiced yesterday in full. That's right. Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, not a surprise. Randall Cobb completely practiced in full. That is a bit of a surprise. It looks like he's going to play on Thursday, Matt.
Yeah, and he's my bad.
Please, go ahead.
No, if he's going to play, you got to get him in your lineup. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? It's a good way to start the week. He's going to get plenty of targets. That rivalry game up there, so I like Randall Cobb if he goes out. My bad, Matt.
Oh, all good. Yeah, Randall Cobb, look, he's went on the field. He's been really, I mean, if you drafted him, he's been one of the better draft day values early on this season. I don't see that role changing. The Thursday night game, I just, you know, for fantasy purposes, I totally hate it. Last week it worked out for me.
It was
one of the few times it actually has. It was like, you know, but it always seems to go wrong. I got to think Green, you know, you got to like Green Bay. I know Chicago at home has played really tough, and credit to them that, you know, and what their defense has been able to do at home. But going into Green Bay, I think this is a really tall task.
Yeah, you know, it is a tough task. Also, there's a lot of skill position players tomorrow night. I have too many of them. I don't feel good about it. Like Jordan Howard on that short week, it scares the crap out of me.
Survivor-wise, I keep going back and forth between Green Bay and Seattle. I think I'm going to stay with Seattle just because it's that short week.
We'll get the Matt Modica Survivor Power Rankings going up tomorrow on the show.
Okay, I'm taking over.
Well, you know, I am
still alive.
We need somebody that's alive. Sorry, Scotty.
It's okay.
You know, I'm sorry.
It comes with the territory.
You know, I'm sorry about that.
He gonna send an email though.
Yeah, Corey's an annoying SLB.
Oh, that's not like nice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Strong words. Hey, Scott, your boy Jarvis Landry is not going to be suspended over this domestic violence incident, which the charges were all dropped, and we knew that, and they were investigating, they were dropped again. Jarvis Landry should be good to go. His knee, you know, seems to be okay as well. Will Jarvis Landry be in your lineup here this weekend?
I think he has to be. Adam Gase came out yesterday publicly and said he's sick of their garbage offense after just two games. You know, they have to get back on track. And, you know, Cutler doesn't seem like the brightest guy, but somebody should tell him that, you know, get the ball to Landry to move the chains.
You have to. If you own Dolphins this week, I mean, this has got to be the week. I know they're going to London, but you got to throw it out the window because they're playing the Saints defense.
Well, let me ask about certain. Sorry, Todd. Let me ask about certain Dolphins players. Corey, you last week said a lot about Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
And you like Kenny Stills. You wanted to own Kenny Stills. You could start Kenny Stills. This week, you're facing a Saints defense. It's a revenge game, ring the bell. You have all of that going for Kenny Stills. Is Kenny Stills both ownable and startable here in week four?
I think if you roster the third wide receiver and then you get the flex, I think Kenny Stills is the guy that could be in consideration as your wide receiver four this week. You don't like the way the Miami Dolphins offense look right now, at least through that second week. That was a bad performance last week. Terrible versus the New York Jets. You figure they got to get it turned around a little bit versus the Saints. So, yeah, I don't mind putting Kenny Stills. Like I said, but if you roster two wides in the flex, no, Kenny Stills should not be in your lineup.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you
I'm gonna agree with what Corey said.
So if you
have to be that deep.
If you roster three wides and a flex or two wides and two flexes,
you can do it.
You can do it with Kenny Stills. Okay. Jay Ajayi, obviously, a lot of knee soreness. We haven't heard anything yet from this week. We'll see if he practices today. I assume he'll be limited. But I don't know what to do with Jay Ajayi. I don't know if there's anything to do.
If I get market value from draft day, I'm trading him.
You get market value. Jordan Howard market value. They were going back to back.
Yeah, no.
A lot.
I mean, those are two guys I'm going to look to sell.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of like trading a Jai for Howard. It's like it's the same position.
Right.
You don't make a big
any
significant upgrade.
I was asking for each
other. Yeah, like for each other, it's like I'm not a big fan of those kind of deals. But with a Jai, look. You're not going to bench him, obviously. This is the week to maybe have, like Matt was pointing to, have a big game and try to sell.
But when it comes to Jay Ajayi, the reason that I asked about it, I know you don't like those types of trades in general, but it's almost about getting in front of that injury. Like, when the is still value.
Well, Jordan Howard still has the shoulder.
Sure.
And if you read what Inside Injury says, he could go down at any time with that. These, these guys are exactly the same to me. They're I'd lean slightly Ajayi if he's healthy, though. But you don't fill a need. You don't make an upgrade. I don't see a sense in trade like that.
Which one would you rather have going forward, though?
In my in-season ranks, I have Ajayi two spots higher.
Who's in between?
What?
Who's in between?
I have to take a look off the top of my head.
All right. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. A little industry news here. What's going on in DFS? Just wanted to make a note of that. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
So, the latest in Daily Fantasy, which I kind of found interesting, I read a story about it yesterday, was that FanDuel and DraftKings have both increased their rake up to 16% of the prize pool. Now, this is a lot because instead of me just putting in $10, $20, whatever, and getting $10, $20 back, DraftKings and FanDuel have decided they're going to take more of my money. Does this ever, Corey, hinder you from playing?
I mean, and I don't really say that. I don't want to say that it hinders me from playing. The NFFC has a high rake also. You know what I'm saying? But what I would look at it, I would say that, and in this situation with DFS, especially being something that you do on a daily basis, I think that's a little bit too high. Nothing won't hinder me from playing. But, I mean, this is. I mean, you see that these companies are in legal trouble, so they got to get every dime they can.
Yeah, the federal government wanted their piece of the action.
Sure.
And the, you know. They settled on, you know, license, you know, for per state. It's different and stuff like that. So I understand why it's increasing. But, you know, if you're going to undercut the guy, I think that's, you know, that's another business way to go. That's what happens in an open, in a free market society. Other companies come in and go lower.
You know, it's like you pointed to, though. It's, you know, with all the legal issues, it's, you know, these, you know, I don't know the numbers or anything. You know, I hear that, you know, they're losing a lot of money. You know, and these companies have to stay in business. I think you have to look at the other side of it. Of course, the average player may be upset with it, et cetera, but I don't think it's going to stop mostly everybody playing it. And, you know, if you want these companies to stay in business, you know, and have this avenue of DFS, you know, they have to find some way to, you know, to continue to stay in business, you know, to continue to breathe, to keep the doors open. So I do, you know, while you look at, well, naturally a lot of people look at it through their own lenses and say, you know, okay, I go elsewhere to play or whatever, but you have to understand the other side. You know, you want these companies to exist too. So maybe not something they wanted to do, it's maybe something they have to do.
It's like with gambling, there's a VIG, and you have to know what your success rate has to be to cover that rake, VIG, whatever, however you want to phrase it, whatever you're playing in. So, I mean, look, it's understandable. Look, bottom line is when you run a business, you have to be profitable in the long run. Otherwise, you're going to go out of business.
Exactly. You know, that's the whole thing there.
Yeah, you know, that's 100% true. That's why they're doing it. From a player's perspective, though, when they are, and from talking to higher stakes players, these are the things I look at. It's funny because as someone that would just play, you know, the 50-50, try to double up their money, it doesn't even pay on my radar what DraftKings and FanDuel are taking. Maybe because it's, and I think a lot of people are like me, they just want to, you know, you play for fun, you play for your $10. People that are making a profession out of this and making serious, serious cash, this is a huge deal. The FanDuel and DraftKings.
Yeah, it is for those people.
An extra percent. And we're going to talk to somebody from Fantasy Draft on Friday in regards to this because they're not going up to 15, 16% here.
Yeah, and the question I want to ask is what do they see as like the future landscape of it? And like what sport can they see maybe popping? Like, you know, like golf is extremely popular.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, could I don't know how soccer could do it because there's not enough scoring in it.
Could it be esports? You know, with the way that esports is on the rise and DraftKings has esports.
Right. You know,
I don't think nobody play that, though.
You'd be very, very surprised. Esports is very, very popular. I don't think we hear enough about it in our own bubble of a world, but that it's big.
I don't see where it matches. It don't match what we do.
It's trending upwards. I'm telling you, the growth is there.
844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. More fantasy football, including snap counts and a game coming this hour. So, the rest of the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.